this message with great effectiveness. And now I don't know where I'm going, but I'm starting out, and we'll see. Thus that the Spirit of the Lord will guide me, will do at this particular time what He wants. I felt today so strongly that the Lord wanted me to bring a message and some principles along a line. This, if it goes the way that it did in my mind this afternoon, and this is one of those hot pool messages, and I hope that after the message no one want to come and drain the pool. But if it goes that way, it's going to be a different type of message. But I feel that God has brought us to a place where we're going to have to do something, and we're going to have to do it now, and it's going to have to be done deeply. I feel we've gone just about to the end of our tether, and we are going to have to begin to shape up. And the message I'm going to bring tonight will be quite homely. Nothing profound. Some simple truths illustrated by a little panorama, perhaps, that will hopefully fix some of these things in our mind and help us to remember them the more. I'm going to talk tonight about a message. My message tonight has one of these foreign titles and English subtitles. Genshin Zanshin. Japanese judo terms. Genshin means the power to anticipate an attack. Zanshin means how to act after you get attacked. We need to know that. The good colonel talked last Sunday night on military matters. And he also mentioned athletics. And said it's going to be in trouble if you don't like athletics. It's in the scriptures. Paul not only said we wrestle. We do wrestle, but not against flesh and blood. But against principalities and powers and high places. Spiritual wickedness. And he also said that we should, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. It's a wrestling analogy. It came from the arenas. When one would get a person in a stronghold, and by a strategy, he would pull down that stronghold. I spent a good many years in studying wrestling and all the books that were on it, and doing a lot of wrestling and a lot of judo and a lot of judo training and teaching through the years, sport judo. I was fascinated with and intrigued with the strategies of the subject. And I don't know any subject that is more loaded with spiritual analogies that are apropos for the Christian than that. It is loaded with marvelous examples. Now, Jesus everywhere used the natural examples that were about him. He talked to farmers, agricultural people, about seed sowing and about the rain and the harvest and about the crops and the ear and the blade and all the rest that come. Things that they were used to, about the tails. He talked to those that were used to the fishing on the Sea of Galilee, about the nets, and bringing in the nets, and about the making of fishers of men. He used these analogies. Paul talked about wrestling. He talked about boxing. We're not there as BTL, shadow boxing. He talked about racing, the race that's led before us, and this race about who wins, and stripping ourselves so we can run the race. He talked about the fighting in the agon, or the arena. He's talking about the agonizomai, or the agonizing that's necessary, the victor's wreath. He talked about the javelin. He talked about missing the mark. He talked about the necessary things in battle and putting on the full armor of God. He talked about battle. Those who were interested and who knew about arenas knew about battle. He talked about birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and he talked about all kinds of things that they were familiar with, because they could remember these things, and he used hyperbole. He overthrew the illustration by strong exaggeration. He piled the information so high that it wasn't even reasonable, just for the effect's sake, so they could see the enormity of it. He talked about somebody having great huge timber in their eye and casting out a speck in somebody else's eye. He talked about putting a cloth over a jaw and to strain that little gnat and then swallowing a great big camel. He talked about tying great big enormous millstones to your neck and throwing it into the sea. He talked about cutting off your hand and plucking out the eye if it bothered you. He talked about a camel being able to go through the eye of a needle. He used strong hyperbole for effect's sake, so they could see the weight of the thing. And so I'm going to take this that I'm very familiar with and spent many years doing, because it's rich in examples. And we can learn a lot if it's brought in a simple way where it will hit our heart and we see what God's saying. He says in another scripture, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. He has strategies. He has certain devices. And we ought to be careful lest he get an advantage of us. And it doesn't make any difference if you're talking about wrestling, Greco-Roman wrestling, catch-as-catch-can, judo, jiu-jitsu, whether you're talking about karate, kung fu, savate, kamucha, all the rest of them. All the tactics are the same. There's always the same type of basic strategies that an enemy uses. And it's true out in the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in today. I'm going to tell you about a couple of tournaments that I was in. I'm also going to tell you about some very basic maneuvers and strategies, and liken them to our spiritual walk that you might understand. So I'm going to do a little bit of mild demonstrating here so you can see the point. It's imperative that we know how to anticipate attacks. Our problem, and this runs deep in my heart, I know by the Spirit some things about what's happening and where we're at. And it concerns me because it concerns God. The devil has had a field day because we have not been trained, we have not been disciplined, we have not been agonizomized, we haven't been agonizing in prayer and in discipline. We haven't been exercising strategy. We haven't been aware of his devices. We haven't known what to do. We have not trained ourselves in it and got used to doing it. Now, one of the strategies that is used in sport judo, the entire art is based on the premise of off-balancing an opponent. And to off-balancing opponent, you execute what they call a tsurakomi, a lift-pull action, but the lifting comes first. And so they wear these judo suits that most of you have seen. They take a hold of the lapel, and they take the sleeve, and they lift. They lift and pull. And it forces him to go into an off-balance position where he has left a strong defensive position. Now, this will mean more to the men and the women, but you ladies, you'll get something out of it if you apply yourself. It's important when you're battling in a judo contest to keep a defensive position, a strong position. And defensive position is one where you are strong and if it pulls you, pushes you in any direction, one leg behind the other, your knee slightly bent, your center of gravity low. If you're standing like this, you're strong this way, but you're weak this way. And so you've got to be in a position where the attack can come from any direction, because you generally have eight directions that you're trying to throw them in. You're such a subject, you have to watch eight directions. And when a person has executed a suricone, a lift, and a pull, the pull tries to force you to step. But in order to help him, he wants to get some weight off you, so he lifts you to make you light on your feet so he can pull you. And once he gets you in an off-balance position, your units of strength drop. Now the devil, in order to get you into a position of weakness, what he will do is first of all begin to lift you. Now this is one strategy. First comes the lift and then the pull. Now let me give you an example of how that works. First example might be that you're a young man, handsome, nice singing voice, talented. Church doesn't pay much for the singing. Not here. All the treasures on the other side. And so, but you get it in the mail. Come and be a part of a Christian rock group, or maybe not even Christian, but it's some kind of a rock group will pay you so many hundreds of dollars a week, or a thousand or two or three. And all of a sudden, there's something, they begin to lift you up. You can be something. You've always wanted to be something. So you want to be something. An offer comes, we need your talent in our band, or in our orchestra, or whatever it is. And you're going to be something. Get paid big money. You're going to make more than anybody else. And you can be out in the public eye. And it appeals to your ego. And so first he has lifted you. He wants to off-balance you. And then he begins to draw you out. He begins to pull you. He may pull you to Alaska. He may pull you to New York. He may pull you to Hollywood. But he has to pull you. He doesn't care where he pulls you. As long as he pulls you from the place you're at. Now, where you're at, you're standing right here at Community Chapel and in Bible college. And you're in a strong position. The Spirit of the Lord is moving. The Word of God's coming to your heart. But he wants to get you out of here, can't you see? He's got to find some way of getting you off balance. So comes the lifting. You can become great. Better job, a lot of money. He's got you up a little bit, but light on your feet right now. You're thinking about it, and then he pulls the pole. And the pole is any place away from where you're at. And you're spiritually off balance in the moment. He's done something now to get you so he can make a throw. Now, you might resist him a bit. You might resist a bit. You're not sure about it. Sometimes they lift and pull, a person will resist. If they can't pull you this way, you resist, and they're moving real close to you. Haul up, and then they step away with the whole body. Begin to put more power on you. Begin to put pressure against you. Now, you need to learn that technique against your adversary, too. So that when you want to move something in your life, and you reach out, and you go to pull it, and he won't move, then you do, and in judo, when you want to pull him and he won't move, you step in close, haul up with your cock in here, and use your leg to lift, and use your whole back and body to pull away, and use the sense of your body to pull him. Then he has to go. You know what you're doing? You're calling on other members of the body. This member can't do it by itself. So you're calling on all the other members to come in and give you extra support, get more power in the situation. One reason that a lot of us aren't pulling down these strongholds that are on us is we're trying to do it with one member of the body. This is one reason that a lot of girls do not get, one reason they do not look the same in love with athletics and get the same results as boys, is most girls, if you'll pardon me for saying it, unless you're really skilled, unless you're a skilled athlete, the unskilled girl tends to just do things with her arms. She doesn't know how to put her whole back and all the boys, men tend to put the whole body into an action, and they get a lot more results out of it. And a baseball player, you know, you watch the girl, you know, she lay the bat on the shoulder, you know, the feet are standing straight up like this, she's going to hit the ball. She couldn't hit that ball very far to save her life. Okay. Well, a professional will bend his legs, get that bat way back here. And he can use his bat, he can use his legs, all the power from everything he's got, and he's going to swing it clear around. He's going to smash it. That's the way a lot of us are doing with the devil. See, we're standing here like this, see? You couldn't hit it, you couldn't do anything. You got to put all the members of the body into it. We need one another. We've got to all work in a coordination. You can't do it just with your own two arms. Or you and your pal. You're going to have all the rest of the members. And then these... Now, in judo, though, a lot of times you can pull like this and he'll step. But the cases where he won't, the more stubborn cases, you got to get all the members behind. There are cases when you pray for somebody and he's healed just like that, one member. Other times, the whole body's got to rally and pray for that person. All the members have got to come in to put power on that thing. It's a stronghold. It won't let go. Remember the disciples came down rejoicing because the demons were subject to them. Then they ran their case and couldn't cast the demon out. The bottom fell out and they all come down. What happened? What happened, Lord? See? Well, this kind was different than the other kind. This is a stronger case. This is a different kind of situation. You're going to have something more and different here. Jesus had to handle this one. They couldn't do it. They weren't in that strong place yet. And we need to have the strength of the whole body. Now, there are situations, you see, in sport judo, well, they'll induce somebody to make a step, and he'll step in enough unbalanced position. And when they find that happening, what does a skilled judo player do? When he finds himself being pulled, he'll do one of two things. One thing he'll have to do, now we're moving from Jensen to Zanshin, how to act after being attacked. Supposing Satan comes in and he does off-balance you. Suppose you find yourself lifted and pulled. Now what do you do? Well, what does a good judo player do? When he's being pulled like this and he's already off balance, what he does is he's lifted up now, see, he's high. He takes a humble position. Instead of going up, he goes down. He lowers the center of his gravity, he goes the opposite way, and he gains his balance. He comes in this way. He's off balance. He's got to get his center of gravity down there quick. He's going to humble himself fast. And he drops it, he slides the leg and moves in. So now his feet's planted. He's in the defensive position again. He's right here. You almost had him. He almost had you. And you've got to now go down quickly. I don't think so. Someone's suggesting why don't I use Mike here maybe. Some of my opponents really helping me. I've been teaching some of the fellows in the master's program sport judo for exercise. In the time Mike's been one of them, they didn't know the master's program meant that the master's going to throw them on the mat, but they've been having a lot of fun and had it anyway. We have to learn how to handle these attacks that come upon us. And what happens when the devil lifts you up? What do? Humble yourself. Immediately do the opposite of what he's trying to do to you. He's trying to get your light on your feet. So you're going to have to get down and become nothing. Get humble quick. Head for the mat. Get your center of gravity. Because the lower you get, the more stable your center of gravity is. That's why Japanese, who are being real short-legged, are really natural for judo because the center of gravity is so low that it's hard to throw them. The center of gravity is so low. You've got to get down. And you've got to get right back in a defensive position again, where you've got both feet on the ground. That's a defensive position, both feet on the ground. Planted. I did judo with a supposed to be black belt one time, was a teacher, and got a supposed to be in Japan, Japanese man, real stocky man. And I went to throw him, and I felt like I was trying to throw the corner of the church, but the corner of the church building. I mean, I couldn't budge him. I couldn't. I was never so discouraged. I felt like turning my black belt in and dying and bleaching it white when I got through, because I couldn't do anything. He knew how to put himself in a position where off balance, all energy you put against him, and you couldn't budge him. I showed a 72-minute film one time of Professor Mifune, the 10th degree, the top world's top judo player, who at that time was, this is a number of years ago, to a class I had. This person was, I think he was something like 5'2", 110 pounds, 72 years old. His hair was whiter than mine. And he had 265-pound French-Canadian and a number of other people, all black belts, go with him. And he knew the strategies and the theory so perfectly that he could offset any energy, anything they did. He knew how to move just lightly and offset it, and it rendered the whole thing inoperative. They couldn't do a thing. And then he did a fantastic thing for a man that size. He took the 265-pound man, clew up above his head at arm's length, and threw him to the mat. 110 pounds. Now, you've watched ice skaters and the pirates, how they're able to get a person and pick them up like this. They get motion. And they use that person's energy, motion, that they punish the motion for the person. And this is what they do in top judo. You use his motion against them. You get the person in motion. You induce them into action, in motion. And then you reverse. You quit resisting and you reverse and take all his motion he gives you and add all of yours with it. And up he went, see? Brought him down. This is what the enemy tries to get you to do. He gets you in motion so he can let you throw yourself. That's what happens in judo. You throw yourself. There are techniques in judo where you throw a man and only your hands are touching his clothes. That's all. One of the throws is, he's a guruma, they call it, a knee wheel. You pull a man, you induce him to step, you reach up and just touch your toe on his kneecap, just to cause the foot to stop right and have to plant again. As you're pulling him, you just stop it like this, withdraw your own foot, and because he has motion and he stopped it, and you have a turning action, you just turn him and just throw him just like that. He goes from heel, clear over the heel, and you just touch him by the clothes, and he just sails through the air. Now, the devil tries to get you in motion, to throw yourself, to use your own energy. I was, and sometimes he leads you out sometimes by, sometimes in judo, you to get him out, you do not pull him. All you do is to stand there with a wide open. He sees an opportunity. All you do is make yourself open, and he moves in. You give him an opportunity. It looks good for him. And he sails in. And once he is in motion, you see, you've got all kinds of opportunities. And sometimes the devil will give you an opportunity out there. He'll open, and all of a sudden you have an opening. And you'll rush into it, only to fall and crash to the ground. And you'll wonder, what happened? What happened? You gave him the momentum. We say, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then we charge and we rush right into temptation because we see an opening. The bright lights are dangling. The music's playing. Something's happening. The world is beckoning. And we rush with our flesh into it. We don't stop and think. He said, I will make a way from every temptation that shall come upon you. But instead of taking the way, Our flesh sees it, we lust after it, and we charge it. And then wonder why he didn't deliver us from temptation. Is that right? That ever happened in your life? And you finish all the momentum to throw yourself. You threw yourself. Actually, you did. The devil didn't have to do very much with you. You did provided all the energy and wham to the ground. Sometimes he will reverse strategies on you. I was doing judo with a real tall fellow one time from the Philippines. And he came in, you come in to make a loin throw, and the person puts his hand on your hip and vaults over and pivots inside of you. So as soon as he gets over, he'll pivot so he can throw you. And so I jumped over him and did a pivot, and he leaped over me, and I leaped over him, and we began to round. I can't see. Now the thing is, when you leap over, you have to spin faster than him. You're getting fast. So that speeds it up. So he jumped across, and he had to go faster than me. And so it's increasing in speed. Zoom, 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 zoom. Like that, see. About the seventh or eighth time, I reversed action, and as he comes sailing along at high speed, I reversed and boom, backwards. Just a complete reverse. And he just whoo. I took me no energy. It was nothing. Because he was coming at fantastic speed this way. And what I wanted to take is to take that leg up. And he was already sailing. All I had to do was just take it up like this and just go, this is like a teeter totter. Just whoom, he smashed the mat. When he hit, all of his spiritual wind went out of him. And he had a temporary paralysis. His diaphragm couldn't raise. All the nerve plexus caused all the muscles to contract at once. And he couldn't get some muscles to relax, and he couldn't raise the diaphragm. He couldn't breathe. And I grabbed him by the arm, and I flipped him over, and I lifted his arm, and the air rushed, and the diaphragm lifted, and that felt good. And he got up, and he was fine. That's one of the things you learn in Casa Hold, and they learn how to, the art of resuscitation, to bring a person back after he's been hurt or something. Now, you see, what happens when you fall, when you get the wind knocked out, the reason it hurts and the reason you're in difficulty is not because you hit hard. If you get the wind knocked out, if you don't get the wind knocked out, you don't get the same thing. It's because of a paralysis that comes in there for that moment. And that's what happens when we get fought, when all of our spiritual wind gets knocked out. There's a paralysis. We can't have any action. We can't do anything. We can't breathe. Some other brother's going to have to come and lift our arms and let the breath rush into us and give us new breath. We're going to need somebody. We need to do some spiritual casa hole around here. Get some resuscitation into one another. Some brother's down and the wind is out of him and he needs help. And here's a reversal of action. Satan sometimes, he'll get you going in something, you know. And you think you're all right, and you're kind of a step ahead, and you're going fine and everything, and all of a sudden, boom, he hits you from behind. Something completely different than what he was doing. Because you weren't watching for it. He got you in something else. Sometimes, you know, you can watch something, and you're aware of it, but in something else, he'll get you. In teaching, in the class that I have, Gordy Hated is one of the students, and we work together a lot. And when we're in matches, and because Gordy hasn't had an awful lot of experience, but he's doing really, really well. And we get in matches, and we're moving on the mat, and I can outmaneuver him, you know, and throw him, but he's fighting desperately, see. He's fighting really hard on the mat, trying to outmaneuver me, see, and trying to keep him getting thrown. Now, if I put energy and try to use a strategy and outmaneuver them, I can throw them by any time. But there's one thing I can do. If I decide I can throw him at any second without any energy, without having to pull all kinds of strategies, if I'll do one thing. If I use a sacrifice throw, I can throw him at any second I want. I mean, Mike can stand in the corner and he could yell out a number, yell out now, and I could throw him at any point. Now, normally you have to work him into a position before you can do something. And, see, a sacrifice throw is one in which you sacrifice yourself. A sacrifice throw is one in which you drop to the mat, and it's all or nothing in all propositions. They've got a lot of power behind them. Your center of gravity is low. It's one of these throws where you become humble fast. You see, you don't look great dropping to the mat, but you're going to get results from it. And a tremendous power in it. And the element of surprise is there. And it's awfully hard to stop. But if it doesn't come off, you're sunk. You're there, see. You're on the mat. And so, and another throw, if it doesn't come out, you might be able to come out of it all right. And there's a lot of people that are going around trying to defeat an enemy, and they can't seem to do it, and they can't seem to do it, and they can't seem to do it, and they're afraid of taking a sacrifice throw in case it doesn't work. And so they keep trying, they're not getting anywhere. But if they take the sacrifice throw, boom, away he goes. Now, God has called us to sacrifice. We have to crucify desires of the flesh. We have to see crucify. They crucify this old man. We have to become nothing. We have to die to self. It's an all or nothing affair. We're out here in combat with the devil, and we're trying to outmaneuver him, and we're trying to block and be defensive, and we're trying to, we try a throw and it doesn't work, we try this and it doesn't work, we try that, and we're just afraid to sacrifice. And we know that the sacrificial way's got power, but what if it doesn't work, see? We're afraid of making a cutting away the shoreline, as they say, and casting out. We're afraid of going all the way with the thing. So we're afraid of doing it. So we hang back, we hang back, we hang back. But there's only one way. You might as well get into it and put the whole thing, all your eggs in one basket, and go with it with all the power you got. And that's the sacrificial way. You got to drop. You got to go down. You got to go down. There are so many, many, many analogies in these things that we can learn from. There's so many things that are, and the strategies of how you, in Judah, how they maneuver is just like the devil does, say to you. And we need to learn some of these things and how to handle ourselves under some of these situations. I was in a Judah tournament one time with another Judah school, and I took my students up, and we all line up on one side, and they line up on the other side, and we line up according to rank, you see, and according to how good the person is. And they meet each other. Each one goes, steps out, and that person steps across, and have these matches go up the line. Well, my team had gone through it, and their team had, and I was, now it was my turn. And there's a whole, they had more people than we did, and there's a whole long line of black belts up there. But there was a rather large American was a coach, and he had some animosity toward me and toward our school, and he wanted to go against me. So it wasn't his turn. It was a person right across from him, and he stood up anyway and walked in, and it wasn't his turn. It was a larger person. So I ended up going with him. And I started out, and at first he wasn't doing much. I mean, I was doing everything. See, I was looking good. He wasn't. See, I was maneuvering around. I was doing things, and I was moving along. And I hurt my knee. I had a bad knee, and so I know that I needed to move and get more power. See, I had a member of the body. I had one of the legs that couldn't maneuver. I didn't have the strength that I needed. That's our problem sometimes. Some of our members don't have the strength. And so I moved in a way to get more power, and I knew that there was a certain strategy he would try to use on me, an arm ball, he'd try to get my elbow. But I had a lot of experience with it, and I knew he couldn't do it. I knew how to protect myself from it, and I wasn't a bit worried about it. And so I was moving in, and I was looking good, and I wasn't worried, and he was trying to get these arm balls. Didn't bother me. Hey, no problem. See, I could do it. No problem. And I was moving in. No problem. And all the time when I wasn't worried and there was no problem, wham, I found myself on the mat so fast. I didn't know how I got there. Because not by this, I knew there was no problem. He kept working on this arm bar, and I knew that I could defend myself against that. I had a lot of experience in that. And he got me in another area. And to this day, I don't know what he did. It happened so fast. And I was on the mat. in a 3 o'clock position, usher, he should be a very strong, powerful leg ball against an elbow, and you only have a few seconds to get that pain off, or you'll have to pat and give up and lose the match. But I'd had a lot of experience at groundwork, so it wasn't any trouble me getting out of it real quick. Now, I had a lot of experience on the mat. A lot of you Christians have had a lot of experience down on the mat, you know what I mean? I used to wrestle in school. We used to say you could always tell the sophomores from the seniors because the sophomores had mat burns on their back and the seniors had them on their elbows and knees. And all except me, I've always painted my elbows and knees with tough skin, and I never had a mat burn the whole year long. Everybody else would have mat burns, but me, I never saw the point of it. And so I toughened my knees and toughened my elbows, and I never had any trouble with it. But a lot of us don't know enough to toughen our knees and toughen our elbows and get our skin tough. And so I was in this 3 o'clock position. I moved quickly out of it to a 6 o'clock position. He made a counter. I had a lot of experience here. I had a tremendous block for it. So I blocked the thing. I was right out of it. So 9 o'clock position, I dropped into a hold down. I had him. And my wife was there, and she said to the wife of one of my students, she says, "Good, Don's got him." And I had him in a position. I had to hold him for 30 seconds under control. I knew I could do it, and there I was, confident. And he was fighting hard. And it was taking a certain amount of energy to hold him, although I knew I could. And I thought, well, why sit here and have to spend the energy when I can flip into a 12 o'clock position and have a powerful 12 o'clock hold down that I could just relax in and just hold him with no problem. And I knew I could go from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock with no problem. I knew that I could hold him under control all the way. I knew I could do it. I'd had the experience. I knew what I was doing. I was relaxed about it. And I thought, I'll just move in and I'll just put this powerful hold down just, and he'll be stuck. And it all sounded good in theory. As a matter of fact, normally, any time I could do it. But the strangest thing happened that never happened before, wouldn't happen in all the history of judo, the strangest thing ever happened to me in that match. I moved into a 12 o'clock position, and his hand had been holding my lapel all the way along from 3 o'clock to 12 o'clock, and when he got over there, it pressed against the vagus nerve. That's the Japanese sleeper hold. And I went under just like that. So fast. So fast. And he didn't even know what happened. He was in the bottom, and he won. He wasn't doing anything but holding on, getting pinned. I went right under. And if you go out in judo, you lose the match. And I went out, just like that. And yet, I, in my security, I thought everything was... I just didn't notice that how his knuckle happened to be holding my lapel, that it would happen to, when I moved over, happen to kink against it. It's hard to find as it is, and you just happen to hit it. But you know, we can be that way, and the last day we can go to sleep, just like God said. We can be secure, we can think we know what we're doing, we can feel cocky, we're doing fine with the Lord, and all of a sudden we find ourselves going to sleep. Going to sleep. And you can lose out at the very end. It's not how you start, it's not how good you're looking, it's if you make it, if you win the count. There are people that have looked good, you know. They were winning. They were defeating the devil. But unless you win at the end, you've lost everything. I lost the match in front of my whole team, in front of their team, and I wanted particularly to beat this fella because of his animosity towards their school and so forth, and I didn't. It's important that we understand that Satan is a strategist. He's after your life. He's hunting for some way to make you fall asleep. He's hunting for some way to take advantage of you. Sometimes the way he defeats you is because you're strong in an area and you feel confident, and so you're gone, just like that. Because you're feeling in your very security. It's where you're trapped and where you're defeated. I wrestled one time with a professional wrestler named Al Sires, and he weighed about 235-40 pounds or something, and he was amateur wrestling champion of Idaho one time. He was junior heavyweight champion of wrestling, so that he was a powerful man, big arms like this, bull neck, very powerful man. And because of the situation I was engaged in, anyway, I ended up we had a judo school and so forth. He was down there for practice, and anyway, he came in, and I wrestled with him. I was weighed 155 pounds, and he weighed about 235, 40 pounds. And I was just young. I was only about 20, 21 or something. But I'd had a lot of experience, a good many years of experience, even by that time, and I was in tip-top shape. And we were wrestling, and I got him in a very powerful hold, a very powerful hold that I had always told my students that nobody could ever get out of it, I don't care how strong they were. It's called a face lock. You get all the weight on a bent, twisted vertebrae. And he fought desperately. He was upset that a young, light person had him in a hold that he couldn't get out of. And I put all the power I had in it, and he fought desperately. But his neck was so big, and he was so strong, and he pushed with such force, he finally forced himself loose. And he cut his lip with his tooth, and his blood was running down his face, and he was mad. He was looking to come after me for blood. And he got a hold of me by the back of the neck, and he brought his hand up like this. It was supposed to be an amateur wrestling match, and he wasn't supposed to do these things, but he came up like this, and he grabbed my neck, and he jerked and to fall over backwards. Well, it's not a good maneuver. They do it in professional wrestling, but that's just vaudeville. But it's not a good maneuver. But he's so strong that he could get away with it. And I could visualize that he could break my neck because he's such a powerful person. If he wanted to snap my neck, he just get over the neck and just snap. And he'd fall over backwards. He just, with all the force he had, and he'd fall over backwards. Well, I knew what to do, and that was not to resist him. And I just took a flying leap and took a fall. That's all. No problem. It didn't bother me. I mean, I wasn't worried about it. I knew as long as I kept in motion with him that it was no problem. I had lots of fall, and falling didn't hurt. So I took the fall, and he'd pin me, and just getting up, and he'd jerk again, and I'd take the fall, and then he did it again, and I'd take the fall. And we were going through this game, and it was all right. I couldn't do anything, but I wasn't... what I was doing, Hill, I was getting along fine, just take fall after fall after fall, wasn't hurting me any, but my motive was keeping alive, see, keeping breaking my neck. Now, that's the way a lot of Christians are living. They're getting along, fall after fall after fall, all they're trying to do is just keep alive, that's all. They're just trying to just keep spiritually alive. And the devil's after them, yanking on them, see, trying to break, and it just breaking fall after fall. Say, we can go through that. He finally slipped up and gave me an opening, and I moved in, and I got him in a very powerful hold and held him down under control, and he couldn't do a thing. I held him for quite a long time. And he finally slipped up. He made a little slip, and I slipped in, and I had him. And I wasn't sure whether he was baiting me or not, but I had no other alternative, so I slipped and got this ass. And you, when you're working with the devil, You got to keep those eyes open. You got to watch. You got to watch out for openings in the gospel area. And there are a lot of things. See, he's a stronger adversary, but there are certain powerful holds in which you can take a stronger person and you can hold them immobile. You can. If you use various members of the body, and you know what you're doing, and you group your strength. We've got to group our strength. We've got to stand together. We've got to call on brother and sister to stand against the devil. This isn't something... So many people are backsliding because they're doing everything alone. Nobody will pray with them. No, they don't want to fellowship with you. They don't want to pray with you. They don't want to call upon anybody. They're going to make it all alone. But the devil's stronger than they are. And he's more clever and he outmaneuvers. They won't call for help. Next thing you know, they don't want any help. They've traded sides. And they're in serious trouble. We've got to call upon other members. We've got to get the other parts together to get our strength together. We've got to know the strategies of God. God will give us the strategies if we rely on God and know Him. It's the wise one that'll come out ahead. This is, see, in judo, all these things, it's the person who knows the most that comes out ahead. It is not just strength. I can show you maneuvers where a person can be much stronger and they can get all kind of advantage and just knowing what to do. One of the things I show my students is I have them get a stranglehold on me from behind take me down backwards and put, give me a scissors around my kidneys and force with all those things against my kidneys with a leg and choke me with all they got behind and show them how to choke. And you get about 3 seconds before you pass out. And there's pain both places. And I tell them, no, I can defeat you in about 2 seconds. I get the advantage because I know what I'm doing. And all you have to do, there's your legs around you like this, you bring your leg up over this one, bring your foot over this one, arch your back, you've got the combined power of both legs against his foot that doesn't want to bend that way, and you arch your back, and he'll let his hands back and squall with pain, and you'll roll right out of it. Just like that. It's knowing what to do. So much of the time, the devil has held us in grip because we didn't know what to do. I've watched people out held in headlocks. You're out of a headlock that fast. You just know what you're doing. But they didn't know what to do. They held them a half hour in a silly hold so you can get out in a minute. The devil's been holding people in all kinds of these silly holds where they don't know what to do. And the answer's all found right here. And God's given us coaches who know what to do. When you're in trouble, why don't you come and seek help? Why don't you ask your coaches? What do I do now, coach? We used to take time when people ask me, well, now what do I do? See, what do I do in this situation? What do I do if this happens? Take time to find out about some of these things. When you're in trouble, you see, there's no coaching from the sidelines. But in this game, we can go ahead. There's coaching from the sidelines is permissible. We can yell out to the sidelines and say, what do I do, coach? Right while you're in the battle. You can do that. I'm going to have to wind this thing up. But I want you to impress upon you the importance of knowing that he works by lifting us up, by inducing us, giving us openings that look good so we'll move into them, and then he'll trip us up with him. To let you know that we have to know how to act to see these things coming and when they are coming. We're going to have, what strategies are there? Well, Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Prayer. You're having trouble in your life every single day. He's off balancing you all the time. You know what you need to do? Do something about it. Find out how do you stop that particular tripping action. I taught a person, he's a blue belt teaching him, and I took him on this stroll dozens of times. Kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it until he finally got wise enough to learn how to block the thing. I kept doing it on him until he learned not to let me do that on him anymore. And after a while, it was difficult to do. At first, I did it dozens of times. Eventually, we'll learn how to stop the devil from coming and tripping us up in a particular thing. If we try and don't just get up, let him knock us down, get up, knock. That's what he was doing. For a long time, he wasn't doing any thinking. He was just getting up. But eventually, he got tired of it. When we get tired enough of getting knocked down, we're going to begin to find out how we can stop the attack. Now, this is a real attack we're under. Do you understand that? This is a real attack you're under. That's why you've got problems with anger and with gossip and with fears and with all these things. You cannot keep doing these things. We've got to walk in holiness before God. We've got to move on and out of these strongholds. We've got to break them and move on, amen? We can't keep this way. We'll never get there. But thank God God's given us a body that's willing, and I'm committed. God's given me as your coach, and I'm committed. We're gonna have the best team in the country. We're gonna know why, and we're gonna shape up, get the spiritual fat off, get your muscles in tone, spiritual muscles in tone. We're gonna work this problem, and I want your help. What I want you to do is, if you know spiritual brothers or sisters that are in trouble, why do you let them sit out there in trouble? Would you want to let people let you sit out in trouble? Why don't you get over to them and with the love of God begin to minister to them? Now, a lot of you are doing that. Thank God for that you are. I appreciate it. But how about the rest of you? And how about the rest of them? We need every member to help us out here. If you've got problems, get to prayer every day. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, Jesus said. Get praying and see if it doesn't begin to change. If you don't even know how to get there and get no motivation, what you should do? You should pray for motivation. You know the best way to pray when you're rebellious inside and don't know what to do and you just can't seem to get any place? What do you do when you can't get any place? I'll tell you what to do. What you do is you go before God, and I don't care if you feel a thing or not. Don't worry about it. It doesn't make any difference what you feel at this point. It doesn't make any difference if you like to, want to, or anything. You just begin to do it. You say, Lord, do something to me. Shake me up. Burn me down. Break me. Do something with me. Don't let me get away with it, Lord. Work on me. Make my heart willing. I'm willing to have you make me, pardon me, willing. I may not be willing now, Lord. Isn't that part of your problem? You're just not willing? Well, why don't you pray he'll make you willing? God can see, you do want to be made willing. You're not willing, but you want to be made willing. And God will honor that prayer because that one's an honest one. And he wants you to be made want. So he'll begin working on you. And you'll find yourself again getting willing. Lord, make me willing. I'm not going to ask you for anything, Lord, except don't let me get away with it. Convict me strong. Press me to the hilt. I'm not asking for it to be easy. But, Lord, work on me. Give me a hungering and a thirsty. And a hunger doesn't feel good, but pour it on to me, Lord. Don't let me get by with it. Lay it to me. Change me. And you keep praying, and you'll find yourself one of these people that'll be getting up to and say, I don't know what happened, but I began to change inside. Something began to happen in my life. And that's what we have to do. There's so many more things I could tell you. I've talked way too long. I'm going to have to quit right now. I hope that, somehow the visualization, along with the words that kind of caught your heart, and we can see that the devil's after you. And we're wrestling against spiritual principalities and spirits in high places. And I just want you to be free. We've got to be free. Are you willing to be free? That's the question. As I close tonight, someone come to the piano. The question that I want to ask you is, are you willing to be free? Do you want to get out of the position that you're in? Do you want to strengthen yourself in the Lord? You can, if you're willing to. But if you're happy with just taking falls and trying to keep alive, that's going to be a terrible life. But oh, if you can just get free and then lock a hold on him and hold him immobile so that you got the strength, you're going to feel marvelous. It's so wonderful to be a victor in Jesus Christ. Amen. He's called us to pull down the stronghold. He's called us to be mighty, be strong in the Lord. You see, but I lack strength. Well then, take him with you. He's your strength. Let him put his hand to your hand and see the difference that it will make in your life. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, somehow, Lord, I feel so inadequate to get this message across, but somehow, Lord, I pray that the hearts might receive it, Lord. The message has been crude, Lord, perhaps, but somehow, Lord, I want them to understand that the devil is after them. And Lord, if we'll rely on your wisdom and your strategy, if we'll begin, Lord, to learn what to do, and when we're lifted up to go down and to humble ourselves, and Lord, begin to move out in you. Help us, Lord, to stay where we are, strong and in the Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, help each one, Lord. Help them, Lord, to make a firm decision if they're going to walk with Jesus, that you are going to be the strength of their life. Hallelujah. Take a stand against these things. Battle them with all you've got. I wrestled until I was so worn out I didn't think I could breathe again. But I kept right on. You've got to. We're in the battle. This is not time to rest. Rest is on the other side. This is time to put all the energy and power you have. Paul said, agonizomai. Try to enter in. I press in. Agonizomai. You're in the agon. You're in the arena. The devil's a bouncer with a javelin. Tried it in the net. You're going to have to use every mental exercise. Strip yourself of everything that hinders. You're going to have to outmaneuver them. You're going to, if you win it, you've got to press the battle home. until he's dead and you got the victory's wreath. And then the slave, when he wins, goes free, according to the custom of the arena. And you can walk out free, no more a slave. The battle's over. Jesus, have your way tonight.